This week's Parsha podcast was sponsored anonymously. May it be a great merit for the sponsor and their family. You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5784, 2024. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Kedoshim. I'd like to draw your attention to a pasuk and a medrash in our Parsha. It's in Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Chav Gimel. It says like this, V'chiso avoyu el ha'aretz. When you will come to the land, unetatem kol eitz machol, and you will plant any kind of tree which produces fruit, varaltem or losay espiria. So there's an obligation to, so to speak, take off the excess orla. Orla usually means foreskin, but in this particular context, it's talking about the fruits. What does it mean? Shaleshonim yelachem arelim lo yeochel. The first 3 years of that tree were enjoined, were instructed, not to eat of the fruits of that tree in the first 3 years. To respect, to show respect, as the different explanations explain, to show respect that this fruit the tree that I grew here is from Hashem, it belongs to God, the land belongs to God. And I respect that by not grabbing the fruit in the first 3 years. V'ashana harviyis yeh kol piryei kodesh ilulim l'Hashem. Now what happens in the fourth year? Are you allowed to eat it right away? The answer is sort of. You're allowed to eat it in the fourth year. However, you need to bring it to Jerusalem. It's considered holy to God. You need to either bring it to Jerusalem, or as Rashi explains, you need to redeem it, and then you can eat it where you are. V'ashana chamishis teichle espiryei lehoysif l'chem tu'osoi ani Hashem elokeichem. Very interesting. Once the fifth year comes of this tree, you're allowed to eat it as much as you want. You can add it to your regular crop that you eat from. And now you can eat it regularly. You don't have to bring it to Jerusalem, etc. Now, the reason, or one of the reasons that I want to discuss this pasuk, besides for there being a very interesting medrash about it, a few interesting medrashim, is that I have this very mitzvah right now. Baruch Hashem, I've been living in this home in Ramat Beit Shemesh in Israel for 17 years. And our backyard, which Baruch Hashem we do have, sometimes it's in better state and sometimes it's been in worse states. But recently, Baruch Hashem, we planted more grass and we trimmed back some of the trees. And in so doing, we also planted a plumeria tree. And I'm not going to get into the exact details of how it came about, but we have a grapevine that we need to wait 3 years in order to enjoy the fruits from that grapevine. Now, so this is very nogea to me. We gotta wait. The Torah says to wait. The Torah says count 3 years. What is behind this? What's the inyan? What's the idea? We said it's to respect Hashem and show that we appreciate that He is the one who gave us the land and gave us the fruits. But what is the idea behind this? So I'd like to share with you a few points. Some of them will apply only if you're in Israel, but I'll share with you also some very important ideas that apply wherever you are. But of course, if you want to do it right, you got to live here. Right? Okay, let's see. It says like this. Two points in the Medrash at the end. This is in section 25, in the subsection at the end of Beis, the end of the second section. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda ben Pedoya. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pedoya said the following drasha: Mi yigala afar me'einecha adam arishin. Who will uncover the earth from your eyes, adam arishin? Adam arishin, he was supposed to live forever, but instead he died. He was buried, so he's covered in earth. Who will take off that earth from your eyes? What does it mean? You were not able to stand up to the instruction of Hashem, of God, to hold off from eating something for even a short amount of time. He was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He could eat from every other tree in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden. And yet, this particular tree, he was told he shouldn't, he can't, and wasn't able to hold up that request of God for even a short time. But look, your great-great-grandchildren, the Jewish people, who, for all intents and purposes, reflect or express the purpose of mankind in the world. We are that group of people who rectifies Adam HaRishon. We are able to wait. God instructs us to wait 3 years before we start to eat the fruits of a tree in the land of Israel, and we do that. So, in a certain sense, it's very interesting the language that he chose. The Jewish people, we remove the dust or the earth from on top of his eyes, meaning there's a certain tikkun that occurs. He died and he was buried. We remove the earth. We bring him back to life in a certain sense through our words. Through our fulfilling the word of Hashem. By waiting, because he couldn't wait. Or of Huna, Kachma bar Kapora Kach Omer Yofed Rashab Yehuda ben Achoisi. Rav Huna, when he heard this pshat of Bar Kapora, so he said, this was a great vort that my brother said. The son of my sister, my nephew said. Rabbi Yehuda, here it says ben Pidoya, ben Pozzi, is different girsois as to who said this. But he said, my nephew Rabbi Yehuda said this. That's what it means in the verse when it says that when you come to the land, you're supposed to plant and you're supposed to wait 3 years. Now, clearly, there is a spiritual component to planting. And as we're going to see, living in the land of Israel, planting grass, as I was zeche to do, it's a mitzvah. It's developing the land. It's developing our habitation of the land. It's developing our ability to live in the land. When we have fruit trees. Baruch Hashem, I have a grapevine in my backyard, one that I will be able to eat from already this year, because we already waited the number of years. We have a second one which we need to wait. We have a lemon tree. We have an olive tree in our yard. It's not a huge yard, but it's a very beautiful little yard. So, this is part of the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, of living in the land of Israel, of making ourselves self-sufficient within the land, the ability to support ourselves here. Now I'd like to read to you another piece in the next section. Rav Yehuda Bar Simon says another interesting idea. Besides for the fact that through waiting the 3 years we rectify the mistake of Adam HaRishon, there's also within that planting itself, before we even wait, within planting itself, there's an aspect of emulating God. We find that you're supposed to go after the ways of God. We're supposed to go in God's ways. Pasuk refers to God as being someone who goes everywhere. He goes in the seas, he goes in the water, in many waters. He's able to traverse any terrain. So, what about us? Are we able to do that? Are we able to follow in God's ways truly? God is infinite. God is eternal. God is much greater than us. He created this, huge universe, 13.8 billion light years across. We can't even get to one light year away, let alone 13.8 billion light years, right? No, so I'm saying, what's exactly the understanding of that the Torah instructs us to go in God's ways? Pasuk says, we're supposed to go in God's ways, we're supposed to attach ourselves to God. What does that mean? Medrash says, is it possible to go up to the heavens and attach ourselves to God's divine presence? Verse tells us that God is like a consuming fire. Right, he's surrounded by a lake of fire. The river of fire comes out from in front of him. What does it mean that we're supposed to attach ourselves to God? Listen to this. When God first created the world, What's the first thing that God did? He planted trees. It says in the verse, it's, if the pasuk didn't say it, we wouldn't be able to say it, but it says it. God planted a garden in Eden. You also have the ability to emulate Hashem. When you come into the land of Israel, first thing that you should do is start planting. Start planting. That's why the pasuk says, when you come to the land, you're supposed to plant. Now, it's interesting, I'm not going to read it inside, but in the next section of the Medrash points out that when the Jewish people got to Israel, the houses were already built for them because they just took over the land. They killed the seven, they had an obligation to kill out all of the evil inhabitants of Israel. They killed them all. They took over their land. They took over their vineyards. They took over their orchards, etc. So Hashem prepared everything for them. The Jewish people didn't really have to do that much. But nevertheless, it wasn't enough that the Jewish people just walk in and take over. We had to continue to develop the land. We had to continue planting more. We had to take part in it. It had to be something that, yes, it's a gift from God, but we're supposed to develop the land ourselves. So there's an obligation here to develop the land. What's this idea? What if I plant grass in my backyard? It's a mitzvah. It's an obligation. It's a fulfillment. It's a spiritual act. Yes, that's what the Medrash says. Let's see the Mefarshim here. They explain, because we're trying to be like God. That's like a funny thing. Okay, normally we think, Chazal say, Ma'urachum, Afatarachum, it means emulating the characteristics of God, just like God is compassionate. We are to be compassionate, just like God does kindness. We are to do kindness. But here we hear a new idea. Never heard this before. I never saw this message before, as far as I recall. Be like God. God plants. God plants gardens. Plant a garden. Plant a garden in the land of Israel. So what's the idea? So I'd like to read to you from two different Mefarshim here. One is the Ma'arib, and one is it's the Likutim. It doesn't say who it is. I think it's the Esher HaNechalim. Let's see. The Ma'arib says, Ulai Perush, perhaps we could understand, B'chdei Leishavis, L'yashavis Eretz Yisrael V'hi Mitzvah Gedoyla. There's an obligation to inhabit the land of Israel. And not just inhabit the land of Israel, but to live there. You don't need to go anywhere else. I don't need to leave Israel in order to get a livelihood. I don't need to leave Israel. Everything I have is here. That's part of Yishuv Haaretz. It brings the Matnas Kahuna. Okay. Let's see. The Eshed HaNecham. So there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. So the Likutim says like this: Eretz Yisrael hu dugmas hagan Eden b'kedusha. He says an even deeper idea, and this is something perhaps you could only understand if you live here, because from the outside it doesn't look like this. But the land of Israel, even today, is representative or parallels the Garden of Eden, because it has incredible kedusha, incredible holiness, right? The obligation, the holiness of the fruit, trumas and maestras, the tithes that we take off. If you don't take off the tithes, you can't eat the fruit. It has kedusha, it has holiness. The first 3 years, you can't eat the fruit. There's a kedusha, there's a holiness which is inherent in the land and anything that the land produces. And so the fruits have holiness, and I would add, we have more holiness when we are in the land of Israel, because we become, by eating the fruits of Israel, and by living in the land of Israel, we become the fruits of the land, and we have more kedusha, we have more holiness. He says, adding to what Ma'arif said, Ma'arif said, when you plant a tree in the land of Israel, when you plant, so you're helping the land to be able to live, and even if it's, let's say it's a tree that's not a fruit tree, you need the wood, you can build a house. Right, but it parallels God's planting in the Garden of Eden. It's hard to understand this exactly, because it seems to just be something physical. It's not a spiritual thing. So I can live, so I can eat, so I can have a house. What can we do? It says in the Pasuk that this is what God was involved in. When he was getting the world ready for Adam HaRishon, it says that he planted a garden in Eden. So what is the idea here? He doesn't fully explain it, but he doesn't want to get deeply involved in this, but it's a very fine concept. It's a very fine concept that God, the first thing he does is involve himself in preparing the world for Adam HaRishon to have the fruits, to have the ability to live, to be able to serve God, to be able to have the basic necessities in order to be a servant of Hashem. That's what it seems to be. But if we look at the other part of the Medrash, which I didn't share with you yet, we're going to see that what does it look like? What does it mean exactly on a deeper level, on a spiritual level? Right? We're just talking about on the physical level. By planting in Israel and by waiting those 3 years. So number one, we emulate Hashem and we are preparing our land and we are inhabiting the land and we're making it possible for us to live here, to have a parnasa in the land of Israel. We have fruit trees, we have things that can give us sustenance. And by waiting, we rectify the mistake of Adam HaRishon, who he didn't wait. He had everything, but he didn't wait. So we wait. And third point, we also add on to that which Hashem gives us, the gift of the land of Israel that's already prepared for us. It was a country that was full of inhabitants that were evil, and we took over, we killed them all, and we took over their houses, but we still needed to be involved ourselves in the development of the land of Israel. But here we get to another aspect. Says the Medrash, and this is at the beginning of section 25. And this is something that will apply to everybody, but I want to qualify that by saying Eretz Yisrael is the main place where this applies. When you live outside of the land of Israel, it's not the same level. Just like the holiness, you don't have that holiness. The land is not producing fruits that are holy. And the human beings that are produced here have a different level of holiness as well. The Torah as well, as we'll see, is different in the land of Israel. The Pasuk says, you're to plant a tree. What kind of tree are we talking about on a deeper level? It's the tree of the Torah. It's Chaim Hilo Machazikim Ba. The Pasuk says, it is a tree of life to those who hold on to it. And we'll see, it doesn't just mean those who hold on to it, it also means those who support it. The Torah should not be for you. Like, you think, this is how the Mefarshim explained this line, it's a little bit hard to understand, but the Medrash is saying, you could think, look, Hashem was like desperate, like a parent. A parent has a child who's already, she's already, I don't know, 23, and she's not yet married. Girls start going out when they're 19. To look for their prospective mate in our community. Girl is 23, she's not yet married, what's going to be? The father's desperately trying to take care of it and get rid of her. Don't think that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, it was out of desperation to get rid of the Torah, anyone who would take it. It's not true. L'benim, tikach, amarei mitzvasai titzpon yitach, im yesh lecha zchus kach amarei. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, my son, if you take my words and my commandments and you make them into something that's hidden within you, it's something that's going to be a merit for you, the Medrash says. It's something for you, it's not for God. God doesn't need us to take the Torah. Hashem wants us to because he wants us to merit. He wants us to change. He wants us to be better. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I will add, wants us to live in Israel. Not because he must have us here, but because we're going to be better for it. So, Rav Huna b'Shem Rabbi Yamin ben Levi Amar Mashal Melech Shamar LeBenoit Tzei LePrakmatia. Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi says a really nice mashal. It says like this. He says, there was a guy, a father was sending off his son to go earn a living. And Amar le Abba, Monsieur Ani Baderech Me'alistim, he says, look, father, I'm afraid there's going to be robbers on the path. You're sending me off to find a parnasa, a livelihood. But I'm afraid there'll be robbers. If I yom ben ha'portin, to be pirates. If I go on in the sea, me'asa aviv. So what did his father do? Not on makel. He took a stick. Chakaka v'nasan by kameya. He put a special amulet in the stick or on the stick. He said, hold on to this stick and you don't have to be afraid of anybody, because the amulet has magical powers. It will protect you. It will help you. No one will be able to hurt you. Maybe it will have Hashem's name on it. God says the same thing to Moses. Emerly Israel. God says to the people of Israel, you're going to be going out there you're going to go out into the world, and everywhere you go, you're going to have people who want to destroy you, hurt you, etc. Bonai ask about Torah. V'nata misir mishum uma. If you are involved in learning Torah, you don't have to be afraid of anybody. You don't have to be afraid of anybody. And the Medrash, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's very long and it's very involved and it's very interesting. I highly suggest seeing it inside yourselves. But the Medrash says that, I'll read just one part of it. The verse says, hold on to the stick. Hold on to the Eitz Chaim. Hold on to the living tree, which is the Torah. Now, if they would have said, be omel in the Torah, completely involve yourselves in learning, so then we would have had a problem. Because it's not something that everyone can do to study the Torah and to put in their whole life into the Torah and to be completely involved in the Torah. Some people have that merit, some people have that ability, and they spend their lives in Torah or teaching Torah. But not everyone has that ability. So what about the people who can't do it? So many people can't learn Torah all day. Of course, we all have to be koveya, itim haTorah, to set times for learning each day. But not everyone can do it and dedicate their entire life to it. So the Torah has rachmanis on us, right? Elon lemachazikim, the pasuk says, those who hold on to it, and it also could mean those who support it. Medrash goes on to say this: if you can't learn yourself, but you can support Torah, you can donate to a yeshiva, you can give money to Torah causes, you can help others who indeed are able to learn all day, to be able to continue to learn all day. You can value that. You can show others and teach others about how important that is. So this is an incredible thing that each one of us can do as far as planting the Torah, as far as holding on to the Torah. How do we hold on to that stick? We hold on to it by being involved in learning, which we all have to do, but we also hold on to it and we gain protection from it, like this stick that has on it an amulet. How? By supporting the Torah. By giving to those causes that strengthen the Torah. And I want to share with you one more thing in here. The Medrash is unbelievable. The Medrash says like this. When, this I have to read inside because it's just so awesome. Rav Huna of Rav Yirmiyahu Amar B'Shem Rav Chiya Bar Abba Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asai Tzel V'Chupas L'Bali Mitzvah Seitzel B'nei Torah V'Gan Eden. He says that in the future time, In the Garden of Eden, when we return to that place, in the world to come. So God is going to make these canopies. He's going to make places where those who have been involved in mitzvahs will be able to sit near and next to those who are involved in learning Torah. Meaning, when somebody supports the person who's learning Torah, the result is that they get the same exact schar. They get the full reward for that Torah that was learned. When they get to Olam Haba, when they get to the Garden of Eden, they'll sit in the same, so to speak, in the same table as a Torah scholar who is on a very exalted level and has a really good seat, so to speak, in the Garden of Eden. The one who supported him and enabled him to learn the Torah is also given a huge reward. He sits at the same table as him in the Garden of Eden. Now, says the Medrash further on, in talking about Yisachar and Zvulun, Yisachar was the one, the tribe, who was completely involved in learning Torah, and Zvulun would go out and earn a livelihood and support not only themselves, but also the people of Yisachar. Amar Rav Tanchuma, so Rav Tanchuma tells us an amazing thing. Let's say someone goes out to war and you're not watching what you're doing. You don't have the right strategies. You're not making sure that you do all efforts in order to win the war. You'll fall at war. But listen to this. But the tribe of Zvulun, when they would go out to war, whether they had strategized properly or whether they didn't strategize at all, they would win the wars. Whether they were focused on the war properly or not, they would win. Why? The pasuk says explicitly in Dere Hayomim, chapter 12, verse 34, they would go out to war, they wouldn't even pay attention to the war, but they would win. They would be victorious in war. Why? The measure is an unbelievable thing. Because they supported Torah, because they didn't just earn money for themselves, but they earned money for Yisachar, so Yisachar could sit and learn. The result was that they would win at war. Without even intending to win. Without even the right strategy, they would just win. So this is an unbelievable thing. What it's telling us is, you want to know how you succeed, and we need wars, right? We need wars in order to be able to protect ourselves in the land of Israel. We need wars in order to destroy the nations of the world who are here, who are preventing us from fulfilling our spiritual mission, which is why the Torah says we're obligated to destroy them. We need to have this war, but we need to win the war. How do we win the war? If we support Torah. If we are making sure that the Torah is learned, then we have the spiritual foundation that's needed. Because why do we have a right to be here in the land of Israel? It's because we are keeping the Torah. It's about Yishuv Haaretz. What is Yishuv Haaretz? It's a mitzvah to live in Israel. Why? Because this is where we fulfill our obligations of the Torah. This is where we fulfill our purpose of existing, which is to keep the Torah, to be the ultimate servants of God, to be that nation which fully manifests godliness in the world. That's what we're here for. So we automatically have success at war because we don't even have to think about it. You don't even have to strategize. Because we're here for the right reasons. Our foundation is Torah. We're supporting Torah. We believe in the Torah. And that's the same idea, really, as planting in the land of Israel, planting these trees so that we can continue to live here, not just for the sake of living here, but for the sake of properly serving Hashem. So if we do indeed want to serve Hashem, if we do indeed want to become the people we're meant to be, this is the way. By learning, by holding on to the tree, by planting those trees of Torah, by supporting those who are planting their own trees, and then we get to be under the beautiful canopy alongside them. And then we win these wars without even trying. I want to bless you and I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us. That we should be able indeed to understand the power and the beauty and the specialness of living in the land of Israel. Hashem should help us merit to live in the land of Israel, to build, to plant, to rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon where he couldn't wait. Hashem should help us to be able to support Torah. Hashem should help us to learn Torah. And in so doing, create a different kind of Eretz Yisrael, a beautiful spiritual place where all of us, me, you, and the entire Jewish people, are manifesting the will of Hashem in the world. L'shem u'l'tiferes. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos. This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.